EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the podcast wherever in the world you are joining us from tonight. I hope you're all doing okay. Coming on the moment we have Brent from the state of Florida, and Brent will be taking us through a couple of his paranormal and UFO encounters. But before we connect with Brent, a big thank you to those recently joining Patreon and supporting the podcast. Andrea, Joe, Ryan Lee, Eric and Christian. Thank you all so much. It keeps the lights on and the wheels are turning. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Brent, and welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
It is great, and it's great to have you on today, and you're calling from Florida.
Yep, Central Florida.
Central Florida, wonderful. Okay. Now, Brent, you're going to be sharing some paranormal encounters today, and also a UFO encounter. Would you like to start at the very beginning for us, please, Brent?
Yeah, sure. It was 2006. I had just moved to Iowa. I had a wrestling scholarship, and was living on campus and, you know, typical college student. Our campus did happen to be right next to a graveyard, but nothing too crazy that went on there. Second year of school, I ended up getting a house off campus with a couple girls I knew, and just not a lot of things to do in Iowa, not in a small town that we were in at least. And one night we decided to play with a Ouija board and, you know, I thought it was kind of BS. I never believed, and I was very doubtful. I was definitely not a believer at all in paranormal or ghost or any of that stuff. And we started playing with the Ouija board, and we came in contact with something that, from what we could gather, said it was a female, said she was our age, and that she liked what went on in the house. Kind of a few scrambled messages here and there. We all thought we were doing it ourselves. We didn't know that we were actually in contact with something, and went about the rest of our night just kind of hanging out, having beers, you know, typical college stuff. A few months go by, and we got a new house a couple blocks away. We get moved in, and it was at least a 100-year-old house. It's very old, but it was still nice. we get moved in, get settled in, and I had a pit bull dog who at times would look at stuff that wasn't there and kind of stare into the corner. And I never thought anything of it. I just thought my dog might have, you know, he's a dog. He's just looking off in the distance. Well, Valentine's Day night came, and I had a girl from back home visiting. And at 3 a.m., she woke me up and said Murph, the dog, was growling at something and that he sounded real angry. So I got up and walked into my living room. And in my living room, I had a really thick, pretty good size, solid wood door with a small window in it about head height. On the other side of that door was a 4x3 foot snow room where you would take off your boots and your coat before you come in. And the door, the exterior door to that room was a solid glass door. And I could see through the first door, there was a girl standing outside with a winter coat, a beanie, like a hat for the snow, a backpack, and just typical clothing, pretty up to date. But I couldn't make out her face, and it was like she was looking down. So my first instinct was like, oh no, my girlfriend's here and there's some random girl at my door. So I kind of opened the first door to go see what's going on. And when I do, my dog rushes through and hits the glass exterior door, knocking it open. The girl, or what I made out to be a girl, takes off, but gliding very smoothly towards the streetlight. My dog is chasing. As soon as they got underneath the streetlight, the girl just was gone. And my dog stopped dead in his tracks and turned back and looked at me. I took a couple steps out, and the only feet print were his in the snow. There were no other human footprint or any footprint because it had been snowing. So I called him back in the house, went back in, explained to the person that was there with me, you know, when I saw a girl, but she disappeared into the light of the street light. And that's it. And she was terrified. And I just went back to sleep like nothing was wrong. Woke up the next morning, and the girl that was with me was sitting in bed, terrified still, and like just shocked that I could just go back to sleep. And I'm definitely no brave person or some tough guy. Like, I scare pretty easy, but for some reason I just felt calm and unbothered. You know, there was no bad feeling or scary feeling. Just, I seen something that was as real as me or you, and it vanished into the streetlight. My dog stopped chasing it, just had this bewildered look on his face, like, whoa. And it was the first of a few events. So it was a bit to take in. I told my roommate who lived there with me, and she was like, "Yeah, I've never seen anything." And another buddy of mine rented out my basement. And there were some eerie feelings in the basement, but that's any basement, I think. So we lived there for another 2 years, and throughout that time, there would be nights where my dog would wake me up, laying across me, growling, looking up into the corner of my room. And this was a very gamey dog, very muscular, very lean, not the kind of animal that scares easy or that fears anything. And he would be so aggressive and just almost angry the way he would be looking up into the corner of my room growling. And it would feel weird. This was after the first event. So when this would happen, I would say a total of 10 times while we lived there, give or take, where the dog would like be protecting me, acting like he could see something that I couldn't. And, you know, it would be a little unsettling, but being that I'm a really big guy, I mean, I try to feel safe, but when it's something you can't see, like a child, I would pull the cover over mine and my dog's head and just be like, "All right, Murph, can't get us under the blanket. We're going to go to sleep." And I never had any kind of interference or anything that ever touched me or shook or moved anything. It was just always something that he could see after that. I could never see what he was growling at. And I don't know, probably in the last couple months of being there, me and a few friends were kind of hanging out. And although it was college, we had tried a few of the magical mushrooms, and we were all hanging out, listening to Pink Floyd. Nothing too heavy, just kind of relaxing. And I guess I fell asleep. When I woke up, everybody was gone, and I could see a black figure in the corner of the room, the same place where the dog always growled. And my first thought was, okay, it's probably the mushrooms. I'm not hallucinating. We were just kind of like a giggly event, but I could see this black figure, just a shadow of something. I couldn't make out any features, a face or nothing of that nature, just a dark shadow in the corner. And at first, when I woke up, I was talking to it because I thought it was my friend who was sitting in that chair in the corner of my room when I first, we were in there listening to music when I fell asleep. And then I realized it was just a dark shadow, and I got pretty spooked, tried to run out of the room. And when I did, I collapsed in between my room and my roommate's room, the female, and I couldn't move. And I was on the floor, and I don't know whether it was the mushrooms, which was a very small amount, kind of what I guess they call a micro dose. But still, I mean, it leaves wonder to whether it was the mushrooms or if it was actually some kind of spirit or anything. But as soon as my roommate came out of her room, she saw me and kind of patted me on my back. And I was just like instantly like relieved because I wasn't alone, and everything went back to normal that night. As far as at that house, that's probably, there was always an eerie feeling when you went in the basement, but it was just a dark, cold basement. So every time you went down there, felt like you were being watched, and you always just wanted to get up the stairs as quick as you could just to get out of there, just because felt like someone was watching you. And then a buddy of mine who went by the name Dixon moved into our basement and lived down there for a year. He said it could be kind of spooky at night, but, you know, he literally lived down there for a year, no problem. He never saw anything, never experienced anything. And I think it all kind of stemmed from us using that Ouija board, because before that, I never had any experience that I can remember with anything ghost-like or spirit-like. As a kid, I'd be afraid, and I thought a few times I seen like a shadow thing as a kid, but it's hard to say when you're a child if you were just scared or if you actually saw something. So as far as at the house, that would be the most that we dealt with. There was a, I guess you call it a dam. There was like a dam or a levee that had a park near the bottom of it where we would go hang out and have bonfires and just hang out. And there was always like a folk tale or just people talk that you would see a woman, because there was a railroad track that went over the top of that area, the bottom of the levee. And there was always talk that you'd see a, like an apparition of a woman in a white dress that would go up to it and jump off into the water. And we were out there one night, everybody was sober, just, you know, a couple beers, but nobody was intoxicated or on any kind of drugs. And my roommate points up above us and says, oh my, would you look at that? And you couldn't make out a human, but there was definitely something 5 to 6 foot tall, like a white shadow in the night going down the railroad tracks. And I mean, I couldn't say decisively that we saw the apparition of a woman, but there was no way any headlights could be up there, because those railroad tracks were no longer in use. So it was just one of those things where we were all kind of like, oh man, because it was an area where we would, as a wrestling team, run there. And at to get to it, there was like 150 stairs. So you'd have to run down the stairs. We would go to the bottom, wrestle in the park there, and then run up and down the stairs a few times and go back to campus. So it was an area where this college students used a lot, but there was definitely stories of that apparition. And then one night, finally, the 4 years that we were there, we got to see it. So as far as the ghost stuff goes in Iowa, that's all the things that I encountered there. There was a time later where I live now in Florida, where we lived in a house where a guy had killed himself in his shop. And when we would be in the shop, car alarms would go off and nobody would be near the car. There was a few times where items on the top of the bench would fall off, and it would be like the motor to a lawnmower by itself fell off the bench. Nobody's out there. you come out there and there's this big motor laying on the ground. Nothing's been in there. No animal large enough to knock it off could have been in there. And just a real spooky place. But as far as my ghost experiences, that's about it.
Do you think that when you were messing with the Ouija board, you know, that girl that was communicating with you, do you think that was the same figure you saw with the beanie?
At first, I didn't realize. I just was kind of scared because I was in college and busy. So there was a few women in and out of the house. And at first, I was just more afraid that, oh my gosh, here's some girl from campus who I shouldn't have been talking to that showed up. But then when it disappeared into the light, I was like, oh my God, it didn't even register with me that night. The next day though, I was sitting in bed and I explained to the girl that was there. And I was like, you know, we did mess with a Ouija board and we talked to a girl. And that's when it all hit me. I was like, wow, I think that's the spirit of whatever contacted us at our old house. I've never touched, been around, or had anything to do with a Ouija board since then. And not for the fact that it was scary, but I just don't want to open any line of communication with a spirit or entity or demon or whatever people might think comes from a Ouija board. I'd rather not.
Yeah, because you never quite know what you're letting yourself in for.
Yeah, I've had people from religious points who say that, you know, demons or evil spirits, whatever you might call them, will take on the look of something that you want to relate to, or things that, like, loved ones who've passed that you might want to communicate with. I've had people try to tell me that, you know, that could be a demon taking a shape for you to feel comfortable around. And I don't buy much into that. I think there's spirits that are here. It's one of those things that I am in no position to say I have a definite answer on. And with the things that have happened to me throughout my life, I can't. Like, I've had people who straight 100% ghosts aren't real, spirits aren't here. When you die, it's nothing. And unfortunately, I disagree with that strongly. I've definitely had my run-ins with spirits, and they're real. They're here. What they are, I don't know.
Yeah, right. If we're not ready to leave, then we just continue doing what we were doing before, you know, wandering around or working in the garage.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't sound horrible to me to be able to stick around. And if you had something you wanted to watch come to fruition, or stand over and watch your family still, you know, doesn't seem horrible.
No, it doesn't. I mean, you're going to want to do that in any case, even if it's just for a visit. When you pass, you're going to want to come back and see your family and, you know, just check up on them. Yeah. Who wouldn't do that?
Yeah, to think we have that kind of freedom would be an amazing thing. It would be very nice to be able to travel so freely through the universe or astral plane, whatever traveling a spirit does.
When you saw the figure, was she solid, completely solid?
Yeah, the girl that was outside the door, it looked as real as any person in a winter coat with a winter hat and a backpack. Like, there was the only thing that I couldn't make out was a face, because with a beanie on and the hoodie of the jacket, it was looking down. So, I mean, if myself was wearing that same outfit looking down, you wouldn't make out my face because it's dark. But I never saw a face, you know. It was just the body and the winter clothes, you know. It looked like I couldn't, 100%. I thought it was a human female outside my door. Not until it started moving did I was like, oh my, because it just glided so smooth. And the dog knew it wasn't supposed to be there. And the way he chased it, and then as soon as it disappeared underneath the light, the dog stopped so drastic, just dead in his tracks. If it wasn't for the dog, I might not have believed I saw what I saw that night.
Exactly. Especially when pets react, you do it quite often. I'm sure there's people listening right now, you know, that have a pet that often stares into the corner of the room late at night.
And I was one who always thought that stuff would have been BS, you know, just because I was young. I was 19 at the time, just a a wrestler and a mindset, you know, of work hard, grind. And, you know, I had nothing on my track or my mind thinking about ghosts. Every now and then I'd get kind of spooked just because our house was old, but I never thought, you know, there was a ghost or anything like that. And then when this happened, my whole mindset on the subject was 180 degrees.
It's usually the way, you know, people wouldn't have experienced anything before and they had zero interest in the subject of the paranormal. And then sure enough, something happened and that's it. Wow. A big eye opener.
Yeah. You always think it's going to be this. Well, me, I always thought if I did see something, it's going to be terrifying. Just this, after seeing it, my fear for ghosts, it's gone. Now, I don't go looking for them. I do travel a lot for work. And when I'm on the road, I go to places that are known for being haunted. And recently I was in New Orleans and, you know, I take a lot of pictures and I try to see if I can catch maybe an orb or zoom in the photos of the windows and see if there's any apparitions or anything. And now that I kind of search for that stuff while I'm out on the road, it's just more of like a comfort thing when I'm in these small towns, just kind of wandering around like the downtown areas, hoping to see something creepy. Now it just doesn't feel like I'm creeped out or there's anything creepy. It just, you see the history. Now that I look for it, it's not scary.
Not scary, no. It's good going to these locations as well because, you know, you get to learn all the history of the place and things that have happened. It's good. Good little history lesson.
That's the good thing about them, I think. I wish that we could connect with them and, you know, hey, give us the real story of what happened here. I've heard people talk about, and I don't know much about it, so I shouldn't say anything about it, but the people who've talked about they can connect with spirits that are, they can get information from them. I forget the guy's name, but he was a FBI or a CIA type guy, and he said that part of their deal was with the remote viewing and they would contact these spirits and be able to get information on certain things. And, you know, it sounds real interesting, but, you know, you think if that was something that was normal practice that we would see it, or I guess they really wouldn't want the public to know, but it's just one of those things that's interesting that people claim that they can communicate with these spirits of people who passed so easily. And it's like, wow, that should be general information.
Yeah, it should be. You know, certain agencies, you know, they used to pipe quite a lot of money into this kind of research, into this side of things, and it's not something they're going to really share with us in any case, you know, which is a shame.
Yeah, I would love to know how to remote view.
Yeah, I know there's plenty of books. I know if you go to YouTube, there's courses. I can't remember the guy's name. I know who you're talking about. He used to spend quite a lot of time on shows like The Art Bell Show and that years ago. Remember that film and the book, The Men Who Stare at Goats?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that guy was involved that side of things and the remote viewing and psychic abilities. And it was just basically because I think the Russians were doing it at the time. They were heavily into the paranormal and trying to get ahead in all different facets of science. And then the US military went into it for many, many years. And they're probably still to a degree now.
I actually, a friend of mine who I haven't got to see him in years, but he was a Haitian guy, and one of his family members was, I guess, some kind of witch doctor. And when they came to the U.S., someone at customs pulled that person aside and asked them about their book. Well, I don't know very much about it, but it was like their book of spells or things that they practice. And I guess that the story went that the guy from the U.S. who pulled him aside said something and tapped the book three times and then kind of laughed and gave the book back. And I guess my friend's witch doctor relative after that couldn't practice any of their dark magic or anything like that after the fact, that like whatever that person at customs knew when they tapped that book, like canceled out everything for that person. Living in Florida, I know quite a few Haitian people, and they swear that over there that people, like when they bury their dead, the family has to watch over it so that other people won't come and turn them into like a a slave in the afterlife who's dead, but still walks around like they're alive and does like the bidding for that person, you know, all their work. And
yeah.
I mean, it's very interesting, you know. I mean, not interesting enough that I want to mess with it, but I would like to hear someone else talk about it.
No, I agree with you there. It's not so you want to mess with. Yeah. We, you know, you always hear about voodoo and hoodoo and black arts. And my wife's Asian, and the black magic over there is more than I thought when I very first went over there. So much stuff's going on. The living and the dead live together, if you see what I mean. They have like spirit houses that they put up in all buildings, which looks like a really glorified birdhouse. And the idea is that spirits can go live in this spirit house as opposed to coming into the house, and they give offerings and all that kind, you know. And they don't just have them in normal houses, they have them in big skyscraping buildings as well, on like basically just every single building over there.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so all day for Asia they do this, you know. They're very spiritual in any case, and it's interesting
for sure.
The black magic that goes on. They collect spirits and all that, very similar. So yeah, it's worldwide stuff like this.
They're better at keeping it secret just because you just don't hear about it. I guess it's just less mainstream. I mean, sounds like it's very mainstream there, but
yeah,
you don't hear about those stories enough.
No, you don't too much. Not unless you really kind of look for it. But yeah, I mean, people which kind of want to get ahead, whether it's in business or, you know, show business or whatever, or to improve their lifestyle, they have turned to these types of witch doctors, shaman, you know, whatever you want to call them. But yeah, it's still very much going on.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. It seems like the entertainment industry, as far as people that want to be super famous, all have some kind of connection to something in the occult or something that looks like the occult. But
yeah, everyone I've spoken to that lives in Hollywood or have kind of worked in Hollywood, they all say the same thing. They're saying it is a strange place, you know, not just all the egos. It's a dark place.
Oh, absolutely.
Some serious dark underbelly.
Yeah, I can't imagine. You know, the few stories that do get out are crazy. The amount of things we never hear about are probably shake people.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
Okay, Brent, and you've also have witnessed a UFO as well.
Yeah, I can't say exactly, you know, whether it was a UFO or what it might be. I've spoke with the local field investigator for MUFON for my area, just because for years it's happened. And it, you know, I've got four or five people who, when we're at the shop working on race cars, we're out there on the, what I guess would be the north side of the building, and we'll see this light, and it's really low. Not like you could shoot it with a gun low, but it's much lower than the stars in the sky. It's incredibly bright, and if you were to hold up a dime in your hand at arm's length, that's about how big it looks. So at first glance, I noticed it, and I was like, wow, that's kind of weird. And then as I moved, it kind of refocused, and at first I just was like, oh, didn't think much of it. A couple of days go by, and I'm like, wait a minute. Now I'm on the west side of the building where we first seen it, and it's facing me on that side of the building. So I got my buddy John and was like, John, come take a look at this. We're looking up at it. And he's like, wow, that does look odd. It doesn't look like it's a star. It's really bright. It's out of place. And I'm like, well, what's this? We moved to the opposite side of the building. And within 30 minutes, we slowly watched it come into our line of vision on the other side of the building. And my buddy John, who's a very conservative, very political, hardworking diesel mechanic, he's not into paranormal. He's not into aliens. He said, Brent, this is the weirdest, closest to a UFO I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, it's weird. We even tried a couple apps that when you aim the camera at the stars, it'll tell you what constellation it is or what it might be. And it always comes up as nothing. It can't recognize it. It's not a star. It's not a planet, not a moon. So since I want to say 2017 is when I first kind of started noticing it, it would happen, you know, whether I was around those people, my family, there would just be certain times where I'd be like, I would have a feeling that I need to look up, and I'd look up and there's the bright dime size shining light. And, you know, it could be a star. I don't know. I don't get a overwhelming fear or anything from it. Just sometimes I'm like, I should look up, and I look up and it's there. And I've showed my mom, my girlfriend, guys at the shop. Me and my boss took a trip to South Carolina for work. And as we were going up I-95, it was on the east of us, out over what would be the ocean. And we got off the interstate. We got some food. It's the middle of the night. We get going again. And then it was on the complete opposite side, the west side of us, because my boss is like, holy shit, Brent, you're not crazy. Now that light is on my side of the car. We're still heading due north. You know, nothing had changed as far as our direction, but now this light is on the other side of us. So that's kind of when the guys at work, at least, were like, oh, wow, well, maybe he's not crazy. And I was like, well, you know, maybe I've been looking at too many conspiracy theory videos on the internet and the government wants to see what I'm so interested in. And that was kind of our running joke, you know, because the world is crazy and we all kind of listen to conspiracy theories, and some of us poke fun out of them and some of us just kind of take it in and listen. But for a while there, everybody's joke was, yeah, the government's watching Brent, you know, be careful. And then it got to the point where when I would see it, I would just wave, you know, and be like, hey, you know, whatever you are, if you're watching me, I feel special, just because I couldn't make any sense of it. And then there'll be months where I don't see the light. It's not around. And then all of a sudden I'll have that feeling, you know, look up and boom, it'll be the evening time before the sun goes down. There's not a star in the sky, not a cloud. Just a nice amber late evening light. And then boom, out of nowhere, there's a shining bright star in the sky. And we just can't place what it is. And a few of us at the shop, we have been paying attention to it. And I would leave and call back and be like, hey, is the light there? And they'd be like, man, 10 minutes after you left, it slowly started moving the direction you left in. And I'd get home, and within 10 or 15 minutes, I'd be able to look up and it'd be in my view. And I'd call them and say, hey, look up to the east. Do you see the light? And they'd be like, no, we don't see anything at all. It's gone. But I could see it. So not a star, not a plane. It's just a bright white light. And it's never contacted me or sent me any messages or tried to abduct me that I know of. Just a bright white light. And I'd say the only thing that's ever happened out of the ordinary, not that it has to do with it, but we were talking about the light that we see middle of the day, just a few guys hanging out by the shop. And out of nowhere, not out of nowhere, out of the sky, this metallic silver, it was a plane or a drone, but it had no windows. And it was, I would say, 60 to 70 feet long. It was a big, two-winged. It kind of looked like what the military uses, like a Predator drone, but like the size of a plane. No windows, no writing. And I, if I could put a guess at it, which I'm no professional, I would say 200 feet above us in the air over this property and where our shop is. It's in the middle of a swampy area. So there's some guys that fly like what they call an ultralight, which is basically a propeller that you wear like a backpack with a parachute, and you can fly around in it and you don't need a pilot's license. There's some guys that have those, but there's no airfield. There's no military base. There's no anything out there. And one afternoon we're sitting there talking and this thing just kind of like buzzes us, comes over the top of a super low, hits like this swooping U-turn. And while we see it, it tilts sideways as it's making the turn, and there's not a window on this thing. It was loud. You know, it sounded like a big, powerful plane. I don't think it was anything UFO. I think it was 100% man-made, but it was just so strange that we're talking about this bright white light, and then this windowless thing swoops over us, makes a pass, makes a turn. You know, we're in a pretty big open area, no big trees here in this part of Florida. So we see it go over, make a turn, and then go back the same direction it came from. And that was the only time we've seen that. And my friend John just was kind of, "Did you see that? Did you see that thing, man?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I seen it." He's like, "There's no windows on it. What was that?" And just, we were both kind of like knocked off guard by it. We didn't know what to think. I mean, as recently as a couple nights ago, I noticed that my bright star or light or whatever you might want to call it was visible. And when I spoke with the MUFON, the guy from MUFON, he asked me quite a few questions. And when I was a child, even before I can remember, my mom had a Monte Carlo that had a T-tops, like glass pieces in the roof that you can pop out. Not quite a convertible, but not quite a hard top. And I guess where we lived in the swampy area, on the way home, there was a really about 8-9 mile road that's perfectly straight. And I would get in the floorboard terrified, talking about the UFOs, mom, they're coming for me, the aliens, and just terrified, you know. And this was pre-X-Files, so I can't say that, you know, I had no idea of what an alien was. It's just, she said that I was terrified of these aliens. And then as I got elementary school age, I would have nightmares about aliens. But I think that was more or less from Hollywood and the movies of that time. Alien movies were pretty vivid and scary to a child. But I, you know, I was terrified as a kid of aliens. And I didn't have a reason to be, you know, other than Hollywood movies, but that was, you know, I don't remember any traumatic events or anything having to do with aliens. Just as I got older, I was a believer in aliens because it's hard to say there's no life anywhere. But then I started seeing this light and I can't explain it. The people at MUFON a couple months back said they'd call me if they could come up with anything, and took down my experiences just as I've told you. And, you know, it's still there. I've pointed it out to other people. And, you know, for all I know, it's a star, but it's kind of strange how it moves. And, you know, I've even used my head against a wall with a piece of tape on the wall just to kind of gauge where it's at, and then been able to see it move left to right by about 1 inch to 2 inches without moving my head or my eye. And then if I go across town, all of a sudden the people where I was don't see it anymore, and I do. And just strange. Can't say that it's an extraterrestrial or a UFO, but it's definitely something that nobody can figure out.
Anomalous. Yeah, interesting. Interesting stuff. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a star. You know, stars don't change locations. Even if it was a helicopter, you know, sooner or later when you're watching it, it will change the direction. And, you know, you'll see the lights on the side and you'll stop seeing the white. The white will be actually in front. So, yeah, it's very peculiar. There is, I mean, there's, next time you do see it, though, try and get it on video.
Yeah, I could definitely do that. And I will email it to you.
Yeah, if you're able to. Obviously, the longer you can record it, the better, because then you can kind of say it's not this. And also, there's a website called Flight Radar 24. Now, what that'll do is that'll show your location on the app, and it will show you exactly what's going on around you now at that particular time. And you can also go back, I think, a couple of weeks on the fruit when it's on the actual app. You can go back a couple of weeks.
Huh. Well, that's good. I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, Flight Radar 24. You can get it on the computer, but you can also get it as an app as well. And that also, I mean, it just discounts the chances of it being anything man-made. Because I do it all the time. I'll see something and goes, right, check the app. And if it's not on there, then there you go. I know a lot of military stuff won't be on there because they don't have call signs and that, but anything commercial you should be able to find. But it doesn't sound like anything. I mean, that's unusual, especially if you've been watching it for a while. I mean, even watching something for two, three minutes, you can usually tell, you know, when it does eventually change direction or passes over you or goes, you know, it will, you know, you'll be able to make out different beacons. But yeah, I mean, if it's just a light, you know, that is quite peculiar.
Yeah, the color of the light never changes. The angle of it changes. The position left to right will change, but it never pulsates. The light never goes, it never like just dims out. It stays very solid.
Have you heard of any reports in the area?
That have to do with what I see? No. But actually, a couple nights ago, where I'm at here in Florida, there's an area just away from me that I'm 30 miles, it's Winter Haven. From my neighborhood, a guy posted in one of the local Facebook, like, neighborhood watch things, a picture of a bunch of bright lights. There was probably like 8 or 9 of them up in the sky towards that direction. And a lot of people commented, you know, could be the lanterns or something of that nature. And then somebody that was like 30 miles away in Winter Haven said, yeah, we've seen them here too. And they look to be just past us as well. It looks similar to like the light I see, but what I see is always by itself.
Right.
There's never more than one of them, you know? So that's kind of why, like, I refer to it as a star, because, you know, I can't say that it's a craft of any kind. It's just, it's very consistent.
It even doesn't sound like the space station, the ISS, because that has kind of like a yellowy type glow when it passes over. And that literally is 2 minutes and then it's gone. And it just, that doesn't change.
Yeah.
It just stays in the same flight path that does.
Where I live, there is a friend of mine has a big cow pasture. I mean, hundreds of acres. And we'll go out there at night, hang out and hunt coyotes. But we'll also lay there and you can watch satellites as they pass by. Because you'll see the very faint light, you know, way up with the stars. And you'll see it go across the sky and it, like you said, maybe a minute and a half max, and it's out of your eyesight. So, I mean, I'm no astronomer, but I've definitely spent my time looking up in the sky, and the light that I see is definitely much different than a satellite or even a meteor, you know. They don't just hang out there.
Nah, that's true.
Absolutely.
We have a look at the National Reporting Center as well, and you might be able to find something in your area.
Yeah, I'll definitely look into that. I just never reached out before because when I first noticed it, you know, it was all a joke about conspiracy theories and whatnot. And my first thought was maybe I shouldn't acknowledge the light that's following me.
Too late now. You waved at it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You've made contact now.
Yeah, I made the first contact.
You've made contacts and you've made a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, now it doesn't bother me. Now it's like, if something does happen to me, at least somebody's watching.
True, that's true.
Good stuff, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's tough, you know, to try to think of everything that you've encountered and keep it in order of timeline of things happening and, you know, keeping it chronological.
Good stuff, Brent. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners today.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
And keep in contact.
Yes, sir. Have a good night.
And you. Take care, Brent.
Bye-bye.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter you would like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Brent for sharing tonight, and as always, thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.